Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we lift you up. We want your name to be glorified. We want to make you famous, Lord, because you're worthy of it. So, Lord, as we finish up our series on Psalm 23, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to fall in this place. You are our good shepherd. You've heard that spoken many times already this morning. Because you're our good shepherd, we have all that we need. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We ask today that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as that good shepherd, that they would take an opportunity, as it says in Psalm 34, to taste and see that he's good. Because no matter what's going on in our life, he is good. Even when things around us are falling apart and there doesn't look like there's any hope or any way out, God is still good. Amen. But Father, we just ask that, as I said before, that we give your Holy Spirit free reign here today. I pray that you would bring revelation and draw us closer to you as we study your word today. And we just ask that in us, to us, and through us, that you would be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we're on Psalm 23, verse 6, the last verse of the short psalm here. And it started out with the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And it says, I have all that I need. All that I need. He's a good shepherd, and we have all that we need in him. He is our everything. And it goes on in verse 2, it says, he makes me rest in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He brings me in to a place of peace, and he is my sustenance. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul, and he leads me along right paths for his name's sake. Verse 4 lets us know that he is with us always. Yeah, even though we walk through the darkest valleys, he is with us always. There's no place that we can go that he's not. Amen? And then verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. There you have provision and blessing. My cup overflows, and you anoint my head with oil. And we reach verse 6, and it says this, surely your goodness and your mercy, in the New Living Translation, it says unfailing love, will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we see the two bookends, don't we? First verse starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything. Last verse is that his goodness and his mercy or his unfailing love pursues me all the days of my life. So we have all that we need, and he's pursuing us with goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. And he's going to continue to fulfill all of our needs, everything that we need. And we will be able to dwell in his house forever. You know, and I was studying this I was reading two or three different commentaries and listening to some other people talk on this particular passage of Scripture, and they talked about, you know, one of them was a Scottish shepherd, and, you know, they talked about how the shepherd was leading the sheep, and then they had sheepdogs to assist them in that, and the sheepdogs would take up the rear, and they would make sure and keep the sheep together with the flock, and if any of them was getting out of line or getting, you know, not doing what it was supposed to, they would correct them and bring them back into the fold, right? So you had two sheepdogs here in this last passage, goodness and mercy, right? Pursuing us or following us. So you got the Lord Jesus Christ leading us along right paths, and we've got his sheepdogs of goodness and unfailing love trailing behind us to keep us to a point where we're on that right path, and for His name's sake, to bring glory to His name. You know, that's what it's all about. It's leading us towards repentance. Because sheep, and we're like sheep, right? And it says that in Isaiah 53, we like sheep have all gone astray and went our own ways, right? That's what sheep do. They want to kind of sometimes want to go off on their own paths, and they're not paying attention, and they get off of the wrong path. They're not on the right path, but they need correction. So the Lord, in His goodness and His unfailing love, comes around and brings them back onto the right path. You know, and we think of that, and we think, how can everything in our life be good? Because it's not. You know, we have bad things happen to good people, don't we? Maybe you've had a spouse that told you she didn't love you anymore. God's still good. Sin enters the world through Adam and Eve, and it brought along death and destruction. A lot of times God gets blamed for things that humans did, right? I have a lady that I've been friends with her husband for a long time, and she won't step into church because she's mad at God because her dad died at a very young age from lung cancer. But he was a 3-pack-a-day smoker. But that was God's fault in her eyes. You know? Maybe you're struggling. Boy, did we ever, when I was young and married and working 2 and 3 jobs just to try to scratch out a living, and an unexpected bill pops up or the refrigerator breaks down and you just don't know where you're going to do because you're doing everything you know possible to do the way it is. Even in those times, God's still good, and He always found a way. And on Christmas morning in 2003, when the sheriff came and knocked on my door and told me my son had been killed in a car wreck, God's still good. You know, and I can tell you the evidence of that was because you've heard my testimony before. I was in the middle of reading a book at that time, started in December 1st of 2003, called The Purpose-Driven Life. And if you ever go back and look through that, and you look at day 25, that was my December 25th in my reading. It says, the devotional for that day says it's titled Transformed by Trouble. And the verse that it uses is Romans 8:28. And we know that God works for the good of all those who love Him according to His purpose, right? What happened in my life was not good. It was the hardest, darkest day of my life. But I want you to know that my God is good. And He works for the good of those who love Him. You know, thank God I gave my heart to the Lord 3 years before that happened. I thank God that I knew Him before this, because I want you to know this, and you heard me say it before, things just go better with Jesus. You know, and I don't know where I would have been without my Savior. I called Him and He was there. But with that being said, I always had a heart. I wanted to share the Lord with people. I wanted people to know Jesus. But in that point in my life, coming out of, you know, working for law enforcement and dealing with criminals and drug addicts and things like that, and seeing what people could do to each other and the ugliness that was in the world, I really didn't want to reach out to everybody. I didn't want everybody knowing Jesus. Especially drug dealers and addicts. I wanted to kill a few of them. That's why I left law enforcement. But when the autopsy report came back and told me that Nick had drug in his systems, that changed my perspective forever, because if it could happen to us, it could happen to anybody's son. And I didn't want anybody else's son dying. The devil made me mad, and I was going to try to snatch anybody and everybody that I could out of his grasp. And if you'd have told me before Nick died that I would have been back in the jails teaching 12-step recovery classes for the Lighthouse Recovery Center, I would have told you, you were crazy. Because Pete Aldridge was one of those guys I thought I was going to have to kill someday. And now I was working under his authority in the jails. See, what happened to my son wasn't good, but God used that to work for his good and my good. And I'm pretty well convinced that the turn of events that happened with our son Nick's death changed the trajectory for our whole family. I don't believe that Nick or Nathaniel would have stepped out of teaching into a role of being a missionary in India and then taking on the role of the powerhouse for those years and now as one of our on-staff pastors here. I don't believe that trajectory would have happened if it hadn't been for Nick's death, because he wanted to see those young people the way Dean Loniger did, not take that path down the road to destruction. So God works for the good of those who love him. Not everything will happen to us for the good, or is good, but it works for our good. Amen? Does that make sense to you guys? So that first sheepdog is God's goodness. He's good to us. And goodness is God giving us what we don't deserve. You know, back when we were in the jails teaching to celebrate recovery, and one of the quotes that I had there, and I think I've shared it with you guys before, and it said this, and it stuck with me all these years. If we can't be thankful for what we have received, maybe we should be thankful for what we've escaped. Because God's goodness is giving us what we don't deserve. His mercy is not giving us what we do deserve, because we all deserve death. Amen. If God pursued us with justice, oh, we would be separated from him for eternity. But God's unfailing love and his kindness leads us to repentance. He leads us in that. And that kind, if you took both of those sheepdogs, those two things, goodness and mercy, or goodness and unfailing love, and you kind of put a bracket on both of those, that's God's kindness to us. That's God's kindness to us. You know, and I got some scriptures I wanted to read to you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." We don't have to worry about God pursuing us with justice because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? And then in Romans, Romans 5:8. I got bookmarks here, and I think Sean's putting them up there on the screen as well. But it says in Romans 5, 8, and 9, it says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." And we know Romans 8, 1, it's not up there, but it says that, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's no condemnation. God's goodness. God's goodness. You know, and we kind of look at that, and you know, everything good in our life came from God, and we ought to thank him for it. We ought to be grateful for everything. We woke up this morning, amen? There were a lot of people in this world that did not. If you're here today, thank God for it, because there's a whole lot of people in the world that would be sent to be executed for attending a service like this. We have great freedoms in our country, and we ought to be grateful for it. You know, and I was reading or listening to one podcast, and I think he was an English guy, because he sounded like Alistair Begg, but he was not him. Colin Smith, I think, was his name. And he made this statement. He said, "Sinners blame God for everything, and they thank him for nothing. Believers thank God for everything, and they blame him for nothing." It's a perspective of our visions and how we see things, right? So the goodness is, you know, like I said, the goodness of God is giving us what we do not, or what we don't deserve. He gives us good things when we don't even deserve it. We don't deserve them, and he gives them to us anyway. But we know that he loves us, and he wants to give us good things. He wants us to be blessed. You know, and then That mercy that comes in, that unfailing love, that's God pursuing us with his kindness. They use these two, goodness and mercy, goodness and unfailing love, and that's to bring honor to his name. The shepherd's in front, like I said, and the dogs are in the rear, and they're doing this to surround us with his love and his kindness. Everywhere we go, God is with us. He's just as close as the mention of his name. You know, we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day. Did y'all wear your green there last Monday? Were y'all in green? Hopefully you wasn't getting too much green beer, but I know there's a lot of things, places that serve green beer on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know of too many restaurants serving green eggs and ham, though. Do you? Dr. Seuss. But anyhow, in the fifth century, there was a prayer that's attributed to Saint Patrick. And I'm just going to read Saint Patrick's prayer to you. It says, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. Christ be with me. Christ be within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in the hearts of all those who love me. Christ in the mouth of friends and strangers. Amen. When the Lord is your shepherd, you are surrounded by kindness and love. You know, and I don't know where that's more clearly evident than in my favorite verses in all the scriptures, and it comes out of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And Paul, in the first two words in that paragraph, or that first two words in that those verses, says this, for I am convinced. Well, you know what? I'm convinced too. That neither death nor life, neither the angels nor the demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think that's NLT, but I just quoted NIV because that's what I grew up on. But that's my favorite scripture. But there's nowhere you can go that God's love is not there. To the deepest, darkest part of the oceans, to the highest mountaintops, life, death, it doesn't matter. The past or the future, God's there too. Nothing can separate us from his love. And you know, it goes on to say that his goodness and mercy will pursue us. That term pursue is kind of like a military term. It's there all the time. It's like a little guerrilla warfare, you know, little bands that would come and they see a big marching army and they would come around and just to keep them on that right path to lead them to repentance, they would be there to make sure that they stayed on that right path. So he pursues us and he follows us and he wants to make sure that we persevere until the end, right? And it says here, if you belong to the good shepherd, his goodness will always be chasing after you. And then it goes on to say, then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, all the days of my life, he will pursue me with goodness and mercy and unfailing love. I think David is looking at the life that we're in now, his present day, where he's at in the body. But when he comes to that last statement, I believe that he's looking beyond the life that he's in, his mortal life, and he's looking for eternity. And, you know, you can see in Psalm 27:4, it says, one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, all the days of eternity, forever. You know, that's a pretty long time, isn't it? And then in that verse, you know, it talks about him, you know, wanting to be with the Lord in his house. And then in Romans or in Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, we're going to see that the Lord is my shepherd in this life. He's also going to be the Lord and the shepherd in our life to come in heaven and eternity. If you look at Romans 7, 17, 16 and 17, it says this: they will never again be hungry or thirsty. They'll never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world will be our shepherd. He'll be our shepherd here in this life, and he will be our shepherd for eternity in heaven. He will lead them to streams of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There's that lead them to streams of water, right? I'll lead them along peaceful streams. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He can be trusted. He is the good shepherd. He laid his life down for you and me, and he pursues us with his goodness and mercy. We'll be with him for eternity. So what do we do in response? Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you submitted to his authority in your life because he knows everything about you? The Lord created you. He knows even before you were formed in your mother's womb, right? He knew you. He had a plan and a purpose for your life, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, a plan to give you peace or hope in the future. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted and I've seen. And even though we walk through some dark valleys, the Lord's goodness prevails always. He loves you. He loved you to death and back again. Right? And his love is unfailing. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter what you've done. He just wants you to come home. He wants you to be where he's at. So as we wrap up Psalm 23, verse 6 today, and we prepare for our communion, is he truly the Lord of your life? Is he truly your good shepherd? Are you like the sheep in Isaiah 53 that have gone astray and went their own ways? Because it's really easy to do, right? So many times we want to go our own way, do our own thing, and somehow we look up and we're so far away from our shepherd, we don't know where to go. But the good news is that shepherd will leave the 99 and come find you. He came, found me. That's how I know. He can be trusted. The goodness of the Lord can be trusted. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should speak and not act. And he begs a question. You've heard me quote this before. Have I ever spoken and not acted? Have I ever promised and not fulfilled? And the answer to that is what? No, never. God can be trusted always. So as we prepare for communion, I'd like for us to take a moment and just kind of reflect back on our own lives and how God has been faithful. He's been good, and his kindness still pursues us to bring us home. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come before you today, and I thank you for this time that we've got to spend Shepherd. You've spoke it yourself that you lay down your life for us. You say that your sheep hear your voice and another they will not follow. Lord, let us hear your voice today. Let us hear your voice. And Lord, before I even came up here, I believe we heard your voice through four different people. And your Holy Spirit that resides in us is greater than anything out in the world. There's nothing for us to fear. For you are our good shepherd. You are our protector. You are our provider. There's nothing too big or too small that you cannot handle, even when we can. So Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today that came in this place struggling today with some issue that they know that there's no way that they can handle on their own, I pray that they'd leave it at the foot of the cross today, that they would give it to Jesus. I see that hand raised. Father, Lord, you know the needs of us before we even do. We have a dear sister that's raising her hand right now. She's wanting prayer, Lord. So I just pray that Father, you would give her what she's wanting to receive right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're going to pray with her here in just a minute. But that's the way you are, God. You want us to have good gifts. You want to give us those good things. And you said that where two or more are gathered in your name, whatever we ask will be given according to your will and your word. So, Father, we believe that with all of our heart. So as we begin to set our hearts and our minds towards communion time and the gift that you gave us through your blood and your body, you told us to do this in remembrance of you and everything that you've done for us. And Father, we know that it's by your wounds that we've been healed. And it's because of your pain that we can have peace. So we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your unfailing love. And Father, we just ask that you would be with us always to the very end of the age. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just up until recently,